Ephesians chapter 5, and let's read from verse 1. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savour. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them, for it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light, for whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, Awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Amen. And may the Lord bless the reading of his word. In the Old Testament, the Bible tells us that God said to Abraham, Walk before me, and be thou perfect. Walk before me. What God was saying to Abraham was simply, I want you to live as in my sight. I want you to behave yourself. I want you to walk and conduct yourself as in my sight. Because I see you, I know you, so walk before me. Before you think about how you live before men, and that's important, I want you to think about this. Walk before me, because it is a Godward walk that you ought to have. A life that's lived in the presence of God, walk before me and be thou perfect. And it is interesting when you come to the New Testament that you see in Ephesians that there are a number of references to our walk before the Lord. For example, in chapter 4 of Ephesians, we didn't read these verses, but in verse 1 it says, I therefore the prisoner of the Lord beseech you, and it means I beg of you, that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. That ye walk worthy of the calling, that's what the word vocation means, wherewith ye are called. He also says in verse 17 of Ephesians 4, This I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth, which means from now on, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind. And when you come to chapter 5, there are several more references to this walking of the Christian. Chapter 5, verse 2, and walk in love. Chapter 5, verse 8, at the end of the verse, it says, walk as children of light. And finally in verse 15, see then that ye walk circumspectly. The walk of the Christian. The walk of the Christian person is really a reference to the way he lives. It's not talking about how we walk. You know, some of us walk in different ways because some of us are pigeon-toed and some of us are flat-footed and some of us are bow-legged and whatever. This has nothing to do with this, obviously. The way that we walk. The walk of a Christian is the way that he lives in this world. And this is so very, very important. There are several ways that the Holy Spirit tells us a Christian ought to walk. And I want to think about those tonight for a short time with you. First of all, the Christian's walk is to be a consistent walk. And we read these words of chapter 4, verse 1, that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. There is a calling that the Christian has received. Peter talked about it. He said in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. He has called you out of darkness. We have received a calling, a vocation, wherewith we have been called, and we are to walk in a way that is in keeping with our profession. Again, I might cross-reference a couple of other verses. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 12. 1 Thessalonians 2, 12, it says there, that ye would walk worthy of God, who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory. The Lord has called us out of darkness. He has separated us from the world. We are his people. And he has spoken to us and called us unto himself. And that calling is not just a calling that we might go to heaven. It is a calling unto holiness. It is a calling unto righteous living. And again, 2 Timothy talks about this. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9. Who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, and so on. He has called us with an holy calling. In other words, we've been called unto holiness. And I was going to say not to multiply scriptures, but I am multiplying scriptures, and I'm not going to apologize for that. It tells us in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 7, on this same line, on this same subject, for God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. If you're a Christian, God has called you to live in a way that is consistent with your profession. Can we do that perfectly? No, we can't. We cannot, because we're in the flesh. Does that mean that we're complacent about it? Well, I can't live perfectly, so I'm not going to try. No. Every believer is going to seek by the grace of God to be as consistent as he or she can be, because that's what the Lord has called us to do and to be. He has called us to be a holy people. We're called not to uncleanness, but unto holiness. And the next verse, 1 Thessalonians 4 verse 8 says, he has given unto us his holy Spirit. So we're called to holiness because we're indwelt by the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of holiness. A consistent walk then, that's what Paul refers to in Ephesians 4 verse 1. But let's go a little bit further. Walk before me and be thou perfect. Walk in a consistent way. Chapter 5 verse 2 teaches us that we are to have a charitable walk. And I use the word charity in the old English sense, the way that it's used in 1 Corinthians 13, the greatest of these is charity. The word literally means love. A charitable walk. Ephesians 5, verses 1 and 2. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savour. Walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us. A charitable walk. The way that we're to walk, the way that we're to live, is in a proper relationship to our brethren and sisters in Christ. That's what this walking in love signifies. It's talking about the Christian's relationship to other Christians. We're to walk in love toward our brethren and sisters in Christ. Now, the Lord Jesus said that this is the true salvation. This is the evidence that we're truly his disciples. John chapter 13 tells us that. Verses 13 and 34 and 35, rather. John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35. Now listen carefully. Somebody called this the 11th commandment. A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another. And look at the standard. As I have loved you, that ye also love one another. That's a very high standard, isn't it? We're called to an extremely high standard of behavior toward others who are our Christian brethren and sisters. Think about how the Lord has loved us. And that's what Paul brings before us there in Ephesians 5 verse 2. And walk in love as Christ also hath loved us. And it was the Lord Jesus himself who said that you love one another as I have loved you. That ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. Now I'm not against wearing a little badge that says on it, Jesus saves, or Jesus lives, or Jesus is Lord. There are people who do that. That's fine. That can be a great witnessing tool. And I've known people to wear that, and they've also been very consistent in their Christianity. But, you know, putting a big badge or even a little one on and not walking in love toward our brethren and sisters isn't going to work as far as being a witness to others is concerned. The Lord Jesus said, here's how people are going to know that you're my disciples. If you have love one for another. Now I know that some have taken this and run with it, and they teach things that they shouldn't teach. It's as if you're to put your arms around everything, that you're to love everything, that you're not to say anything about anything. But of course that's not true love. If you truly love the Lord, you're going to hate evil. Ye that love the Lord hate evil. It's important to note the context here in Ephesians 5. The context includes the last verses of chapter 4. And there it talks about not grieving the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. There's a continuous theme here. We are to be followers of God as his children. We are to walk in love. And there's the example of love that's mentioned there, even as God. Be ye therefore followers of God, as Christ also hath loved us. You see the example. Christians should walk in love because the Lord has set the example of love for us to follow. Are we followers of God in this respect? Do we put all bitterness and malice out of our hearts and out of our mouths? Have we put those things away? Are we putting those things away? Do we forgive one another? You know, whenever you decide that you're not going to forgive somebody else, another Christian brother or sister, just think about this. Where would I be if God had decided he wasn't going to forgive me? And really the Lord spoke a parable along those lines, didn't he? You remember the person who wanted his overseer to forgive him. But once that had happened, he wouldn't forgive somebody else. And the Lord Jesus said, well, God's not going to forgive you whenever you're not willing to forgive somebody else. The Lord has forgiven us. And we are to, in like manner, forgive others. And the Lord Jesus has set the example for us. Even as Christ. That's the standard. And remember what our Lord Jesus said in another place in Luke chapter 17 and verses 3 and 4. Take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, if your brother in Christ, that is, does something against you, rebuke him. Nothing wrong with telling, that was wrong what you did. But, and if he repent, forgive him. And if he trespass against thee seven times in a day, and seven times in a day turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. And it was no wonder the apostles then said, increase our faith. Because that would be difficult to do. Somebody does something wrong against you seven times in one day, but every time he says, I'm sorry, then you're to forgive him. Of course, I believe that there must be true repentance. There must be true repentance. But the example of love is there, and the excellence of love is mentioned. A charitable walk is something that's necessary because love is such an excellent quality. You read 1 Corinthians 13, if we had time, we'd go through all of those verses. What an excellent quality love is. Charity. It's the greatest. It's the greatest quality. Now abideth faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. It's the greatest Christian virtue. So let us endeavor to walk in love. And if you want further teaching on what that means, you read 1 John chapter 3 from verse 18 down to verse 21, and you'll see there that we're to be willing to lay down our lives for our brethren. We're not just to love from the lips out, but we're to love from our hearts in deed and in truth. There's a third thing. Look at Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 8. For ye were, isn't it good to be able to say that tonight, and not what I used to be, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Ye were, but now. There's been a change. Something has happened. And if that's the case, he says, walk as children of light. Don't walk as children of darkness anymore. You were darkness, but now you're light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. We are to walk in the light as he is in the light, and then we have fellowship the one with the other, that is us with God and God with us, and the blood of Jesus Christ his Son cleanseth us from all sin. That's what 1 John chapter 1 verse 7 tells us. We're not to walk in darkness, we're to walk in the light. And this is a contrasting walk. It's a contrasting walk. What do you mean a contrasting walk? I mean it's contrasting not only when you look at others, but when you look at yourself and what you used to be. Your walk now as a Christian is to be in complete contrast to what it once was. You were, but now. And it's good to be able to say that. I was, but now. There's been a great change wrought by God's Holy Spirit. If you're a true Christian, you're a new creature. You've been converted to God. Therefore, you ought to live in that way. I do believe there's a definite moment when people are saved. Those that are truly saved, they are saved in a definite moment. They may not necessarily be conscious of that moment. It may have been here, it may have been there, it may have been a little bit later on, but there's a definite moment when you're saved. And those that are not saved are in a state of darkness. The scripture tells us that in 2 Corinthians 4 verse 4. Listen to these words. It says of those that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. Someone who's blind is in darkness. Lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. If you're not a believer, you're in darkness. And when a person gets saved, he's brought into the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And this is an experience that we all need. When we are brought from the dead, it's as though we're wakened up. In fact, it says this in Ephesians 5 verse 14. Awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. When a person is saved, they're brought into the light of the knowledge of God. That's an experience we have to have if we're to get to heaven. When Paul was sent to preach, the Lord told him he was to go to the Gentiles and turn them from darkness to light. Now what the apostle is saying here, Ephesians 5 verse 8, is this. Walk as children of light. If you've been saved, then live like it. If you've been saved, live like it. Walk as children of light. Show by your actions, show by your life that you've been changed. There are people who profess to be saved, and when you look at their lives, they're acting as if they're still in a state of darkness. There's absolutely no difference between them and the ungodly world as a whole. There's no manifest difference between themselves and the world. They dress the same, they go to the same places, they listen to the same music. All their interests are exactly the same. They're just like worldlings, and I suspect they are worldlings. I think that's the problem. Of course, a Christian can get away from the Lord and walk in that way for a time. He is the true believer to manifest the change that has been wrought within him. The scripture shows us that our walk should be a separated walk. It's in the context here, Ephesians 5 verse 11. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. You're to be separate. If you say that you're saved, there ought to be evidence of that by the way that you live. Your walk should be separated. It ought to be surrendered. Verse 10 should be your motto, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. It's not what's acceptable to other people. It's not what's acceptable to the world at large. It is what is acceptable unto the Lord. And our walk should be spiritual. Look at verse 9. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. It's in the context of those words, walk as children of light. Walk manifesting the fruit of the Spirit. A spiritual walk rather than a carnal walk, where the fruit of the Spirit is manifested in your life. The fruit of holiness. Galatians chapter 5. So there is here to be a contrasting walk. If we're to walk before the Lord and be perfect, this is the way we are to walk. But there's something else here before we finish. One final way that we are to be walking, and that is Ephesians 5:15. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. I say this as a careful walk, because that's really what the word circumspectly means. When you're circumspect, you are careful. If you wanted a literal translation of this, it really means to be looking all around, watching your step, and proceeding with caution. You know how you do if you are in some place where there's very poor light, and you know that there's things on the floor that you don't want to step on? You walk circumspectly, you're picking your steps. I recall one time going into an old house that belonged to my in-laws. It was very dark inside. The electricity had been off. I don't know if there even ever was electricity in it, but it had been off for many, many years. And I went in there, and I thought I was walking circumspectly. I was picking my steps, and all of a sudden, shoom, down I went through an old floorboard. You know how your leg gets wedged in between the joists? That thing hurt. Skinned. Took the skin off my shin. And I did no more walking in that house. We just got out of there. Said, this is it. I'm not walking anywhere else in here. It's too dangerous. You have to walk circumspectly, looking all around, watching, proceeding with caution. A careful walk. I know I've given this illustration before, but it's a very good one. When I was a child, my grandfather lived in a little row house with a yard that was like a postage stamp, and there was a back wall, and along the wall at the back there was a kind of a little street type thing. We called it a close, and sometimes bad people would break into those houses, and how they would do it is get up over that wall, which was an easy thing to do, and into the person's yard. So a lot of the neighbors there thought that they would do what they could to keep those bad people out, and what they did was they put cement all along the top of the wall, and then they got old bottles, glass bottles, and broke them in pieces, and they put those pieces of glass into the cement. So when the cement hardened, there was all this jagged glass on top of the wall. So poor Mr. Burglar, if he came at night time without a light and tried to go up over that wall, he might get shedding some of his blood that he didn't intend to. That was to keep people out. Now, I used to watch the local neighborhood cat, and he would go across that wall, and I always thought he's going to cut his paws, but he never did, because he picked his steps ever so carefully, like a cat would do.
and he would just make his way. You could see him just gingerly walking along that wall. He knew that if he didn't watch, he would cut his paw. That's walking circumspectly. Now, that's just a very natural illustration. But we're to proceed carefully like that. That's how we're to walk. We're to pick our steps with care in this world. You don't just go along with abandon. You have to be careful. And so we need wisdom from God. That's why it says there in that text, "See then that you walk circumspectly," which means carefully, picking your steps, "not as fools, but as wise." We need divine wisdom. And a careful walk, therefore, is a walk that is in the plan of God. We're not to walk as fools, but as wise. And look at this in verse 17. "Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." So if you're going to walk wisely, you're going to be walking in the will of God, seeking God's will in your life from day to day, being very careful to seek the plan of the Lord for your life and behavior. And when God's will is revealed to you, then you are to walk in it. Look at chapter 6, verse 6. "Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart." A person who is walking carefully is walking not only in the plan of God, but in the power of God. And this, again, is in the context. Verse 18 of chapter 5. "And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." Some people are filled with the wrong kind of spirit. Jack Daniels or something like that. You're to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Filled with the Spirit. This is the believer's alternative, one preacher said, to being drunk. Be filled with the Spirit. Day by day we require that we might walk in the Spirit and not fulfill the lust of the flesh. How do you walk in the Spirit? Jesus said, "If ye being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him?" And you say, "Well, I thought we already had the Holy Spirit." We do. But we also need the power of the Holy Spirit. We need the endowment and the help of the Holy Spirit. And we can pray for that and should pray for that day by day. We need the power of God. And walking in a careful manner is to walk in the praise of God, because verses 19 and 20 speak about this. "Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord." Some of us that can't sing too well are happy that that's there. "Singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." If you're walking as you ought to walk, there'll be praise in your heart and on your lips. We are to offer the sacrifice of praise to the Lord continually, giving thanks to his name. The Bible tells us not just about Abraham, but of another Old Testament character, Enoch, that Enoch walked with God. Enoch walked with God. And really all that I've said tonight can be summed up in that one statement. We are to walk with God. We are to walk in a charitable way. We are to walk in a consistent manner. We are to walk with a contrasting walk. We are to walk carefully. And we need the Lord's help and grace to do that. May the Lord help us to walk with God in the light of his word. And then, as the hymn says, what a glory he sheds on our way. Amen.